It's a great... Part of what I love about Sundays is the reminder of who we are. And for those of you that may be new here, we've kind of hung our hat on this statement, that we're a Jesus-centered community creating gracious space through acts of generous love. And that's where we see us developing as a community and continue to working out of that. So I want to just say welcome here. I'm hoping that those things that I say today line up with that mission statement as well. But would you pray with me before we start? Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to gather together to be reminded of who you are and who we are. Thanks for the way the band served us and was able to put words in our mouths. That we were able to hear and listen, and we are also able to act. That we were able to ponder. God, may the words of my mouth now be words that would continue that, remind us of who you are, remind us of who we are, and what is our place in that, and what does it look like? Would you come and meet us, that we would be able to see Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit would help illuminate that. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're in our series, Spiritual Practices for the Everyday Ordinary. I'm still trying to hold my arm down so I don't make any sudden movements with it. Just a quick update on that is that thank you for all of you that have been praying. I see the surgeon tomorrow, and then we figure out where to go from there. So hopefully he doesn't have to do anything. And we just move on to the physio. So that'll be a good thing. But we're in this series, and what's been interesting about it is that as I've been looking at it, and most of this is a lot of the direction of where it's been coming from is through Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline, which I remember I said last week as someone was walking out, I was like, yeah, but it's 37 years old and it's maybe a little outdated. And they're like, oh, and so that person contacted me this week. What did you say? Because I heard you were kind of saying, what did you say there? I was like, wow, it's not totally outdated, but we have to figure out how do we live in our day today. We come to the practice of service and this understanding of what is servanthood in the relation to us being Jesus followers. When you think of service or being a servant, I want you to just think about what comes to mind. What are some of maybe the good images that come to mind? And I know for some of us, there's probably some harder images that come to mind as well. So when you think about service in the context of being a Jesus follower, in the context of the church, what are some images or what are some words or what are some thoughts that come to mind? This is audience pardon? Foot washing. Yes, we're going to get to that. Not going to get to that today, but we're going to talk about that today because the text is going to lead us there. Foot washing. What else? Right, what you've done. So this idea of serving the least of these, right? What else? Pardon? Time. Yeah. There's a time commitment there, right? What else? Maybe you're not like me. Any hard images? Like ones that you're like, I don't want to go there? Maybe you got some PTSD around how much you've given and done so much that it's maybe hard to go there. I know that has maybe formed me sometimes. Before I say a few things, I'll leave that when I shouldn't joke about PTSD. That's a total thing. I think sometimes when we talk about service, we go, oh no, all right, here's someone that technically, you know, it's not a pulpit, but maybe it's a pulpit. Maybe there's someone now has authority, going to talk about God's word, and now they're going to tell me all the things I need to do better. And that can rub some of us a bit of the wrong way. Any harder images that come to mind for you in your experience of that? Yeah.
Because historically, the message, whether it was said overtly or not, was that service to the definition of ministry is probably number one.
Right.
Which means the family sacrifices.
Right.
So, not that that would have been done in a purposeful, mean way or anything. Mm-hmm. But
right.
What does that mean in this generation?
Yeah.
To still serve well, but not to the point of creating unhealth within the family.
Right. That's good. Thank you, Aaron. And that's kind of that's a little bit where I'm probably coming from as well. My dad was a pastor as well, and although a lay pastor, truck driver all his life. But it was always serving other people and not necessarily, I'm like, Dad, what about us? Hey, you know? And so it can get tricky around this, right? Or maybe you have this kind of worm theology that, you're just, if we take on asceticism so much, and that this is, God wants us to maybe not enjoy life so much, but just like, going around and washing people's feet all the time, and that's the best way that you can show who God is. Well, I'm hoping that we can come at it a little bit differently on that. I'm hoping that I'm going to be true to the text, but also it'll hit our felt need as well here as a community. That's always a bit tricky because we're all coming from different backgrounds, but let's engage in this text. So we're going to read, there's two passages, but the one I want to is, there's a whole bunch of passages, but on Wednesday when I was looking at this and struggling with both passages, I thought, well, I'll put them both on there. You can read the one that I don't read, and you can look at that, but there was one in Luke 22, but the one that came out stronger for me to maybe speak on is John 13, 1-17. So, would you read along with me if you have your Bible or on your app? It will not be in the screen behind us. Technology has beaten us today. So, John 13. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that this hour had come, that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around them. I want to pause at verse 5 for a second. So you can see, I don't want to read too much in the text, but it might be this, it's Passover. The disciples are together for this meal. They're gathered together. And I'm wondering if the custom is that someone would have had to wash the disciples' feet, or whoever's in there would have had to just wash. Now, I'm asking a question. Is Jesus doing it a second time, or has it not been done? I'm wondering if it hadn't been done. So now, think about it in this context. It's customary. You enter a house, you're here for a meal. The servant is going to come wash their feet. Maybe the servant's sick. I'm not sure. My daughter had a ringette game today. There's usually 12 of them, but like seven of them couldn't go. And no, five of them couldn't go because they're all sick. Be thinking about Jesse Gettert. He was getting a lead today, and he got sick last night. So I don't know. Was the servant sick? Was someone sick, and they couldn't do it? So now if you think about it that way, they're sitting there, and they're looking around going, all right, well, before we eat, it's customary. Someone has to wash people's feet. Is it going to be you? You? Like, you're all eyeing each other up, right? And I wonder. And then you have Jesus going, yeah. This is a great way to show them the full extent of my love. We're going to come back to that. So Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Then we have Peter. I love Peter. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No. Peter protested, you will never wash my feet. Gotta love Peter, hey? He just spits out whatever he's feeling. Because guess what he says in a couple of verses? Jesus replied, well, one verse. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you don't belong to me. Simon Peter then exclaimed, then wash my hands and my head as well, not just my feet, Lord. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash, except for the feet, to be entirely clean. And you, disciples, are clean, but not all of you. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is why, what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe and sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your teacher, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one that sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So that's our scripture. What is going on here? As we talked about earlier, we have this practice in the ancient Near Middle East where they are, there's customary that if you're walking in someone's house, you have the servant, whoever's the lowest of the servants would come and wash the feet. And that was like, that was a gift that the host was able to do. Plus, they probably didn't want someone's feet all over, like dirty feet all over in their house. And when you'd recline at a table, you kind of were reclining, you had someone's, because it was down low, and you had kind of had someone's feet near you. And so you're like, okay, if we're going to eat, let's do this. Here now, I want to propose to us here. Sometimes I've read this, and I have, and I don't think this is the wrong way, reading it and going, okay, God has done this for me, now I need to do it to other people, and I need to be able to do this so that people can see what God has done in my own life in this way. And as I was looking at it today, there was a bit more of a, this week, there was a bit more of an aha sense that came across for me that I hope we can get to it this morning. So I want to propose to us today is this. God revealing love, and love revealing God. God revealing love and love revealing God. That's when I would say, hey, throw this on screen. God revealing love and love revealing God. Verse 3 talks about this. And it's alluding to 1 John 1:14, where, if you're able to track with me without all this stuff on screen, is this. Where John 1, it talked about the Word, the Logos of God, the understanding of the Word, the Logos, the understanding, all of that. In John 1:14, was made what? Does anyone understand? The Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. So, we get this picture here. John is using some of the same language here. Now look here, the Word is made flesh. The Word is with us here right now. And what is the Word doing? The Word is revealing who God is, the Logos, the understanding. The love of God is also is revealing God through the love of what He's doing. Does that make sense? It made sense to me. God revealing love and love revealing God. So in the act of service that Jesus is doing, it's actually revealing who He is, not just doing what he's doing. That's what I want us to really sink our teeth in today as we continue to go through. It's the love of God, the Logos of God, the understanding of God, revealing who He is. John 13:1 says, Jesus is about to show them the full extent of His love. And how, what does He do? He serves. What does He do? He becomes the servant of all. So it's the love of God, the Logos of God, Jesus, the image of God, the icon of God, is now about to reveal who this God is. By what? By what He does. And it's in what He does that reveals who God is. Does that make sense? So, I'm wondering also, remember how we talked about the Christ? Jesus, the Christ? Most of you were here. If you haven't tracked, that's I think our second or third one in January, where Jesus, the Christ, the one who is Lord and Savior of all, the Christ, had become known to us, the Logos, had become known, had become flesh to us. The Creator, the Christ, was now made known to creation and dwelling among us. And it begs the question, when He's dwelling among us, what is He doing? Because that's reflecting who He is. This passage is dripping also with Philippians 2. Now, different people wrote it, but Philippians 2 is speaking that what we heard earlier, that Jesus has been made known to creation, all of creation, and He comes as a servant. So a theological way of understanding this passage is that the God who came near has come as close as He can to fully reveal who He is. The God who came near has come as close as He can to reveal the full extent of His love by becoming a servant. And this God is washing the feet of His disciples. That caught me this week. That caught me hugely this week. This is who God is. Around here we have this saying, if you want to understand who God is, you look at the person of Jesus. Jesus is God's best bet. Everything gets interpreted through Jesus. Jesus reinterprets some of the Old Testament scripture. Everything comes through the person of Jesus. So now we're seeing Jesus at His full extent of His love, and He's revealing His love to His disciples here. And what is He doing? God comes in the flesh and reveals who God is, serving. Jesus is God revealing love, and this act of love reveals who God is. Okay, I'm hoping I don't beat that horse too dead. This quote I pondered on for a while, and I know it won't be up on screen, but But N.T. Wright says this. Sometimes we see this passage and we go, wow! Despite the fact that he had come from God, he nevertheless washed their feet. And then he goes on to say, no. Washing their feet was what he had to do precisely because he had come from God. Do you understand? I'm asking myself if I understand that, because that's something to hold on to. I want to read that again. We sometimes think, wow, we look at this, wow. Despite the fact that he had come from God, he nevertheless washed their feet. Like, God was so amazing, and he just came, stooped down, and he did this because of, he just needed to show them this. No, it's washing their feet was what he had to do precisely because he had come from God, precisely because he was God. So now he begs us to remind us of the posture of God towards us is what? Here, we're seeing a posture of God towards us like this. I almost feel heretical doing this. Because this is the God of the universe. This is the God when you walk out in tonight and it's going to be a clear sky and beautiful and you look up and you can count the stars until you fall asleep and you won't get to even any measure of what it would be. And we go, the creator of the universe is doing this here? Posturing towards his creation and towards the one who is going to betray him and is still going to reveal and show his full extent of his love to him? Ah! Oh. That's why Peter goes, no way. Forget it. No. My image of God, my image of Messiah is a warrior ready to come and do war against. And this is, you're showing sign of weakness here. Never. And then Jesus beautifully, lovingly says, unless I do this, you have no part with me. Oh, punches Peter between the eyes without coming to fisticuffs. And Peter says, okay, wash all of me. Peter jumps in. The service of Jesus is revealing the love of God to us in the world. This is how God acts. In the midst of betrayal, this is what God is like. Here they're gathered at Passover. And the feast of the disciples were keenly aware here, I'm coming back to this, that there were someone had to wash someone's feet, as it was customary. The problem was that the only people who washed feet were the least. So there they sat. Feet caked with dirt, dusty. It was like kind of like a sore point. And no one was really going to talk about it that evening. Who's gonna do this? What's gonna happen? Because no one wanted to be considered the least. And we have Jesus the Christ says, I'm in. This is perfect. At the right time, I want to reveal who I am to this people. And then Jesus took a towel and a basin and redefined what greatness is. Man. Just that point a week, this week, got me. This is a portrait that I want to remember of who God is this week. Even though a lot of times, like Peter, I'm like, no, never. That's not it. So I think in the midst, before all, we get into how are we supposed to serve. I think we'll miss the point if we don't come here to this passage as Jesus followers and see the need to allow Jesus to serve us, to transform our understanding of who God is. Now, Jesus' posture wasn't just some kind of social thing and not just showing love, but this was also a foreshadow of what he's about to do, right? He's speaking and revealing that him being a servant, and he's going to be now going to look like the least of these on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and the redemption of all the world. He's living out what he's ultimately come for. Jesus is always congruent that way. Why can't I be that congruent? Because I'm like Peter. I'm human. I'm like Judas. And because I'm human, I need to come back to this understanding of the posture that God has towards us. So would you please remember this posture of God towards you? It might be really, really humbling for all of us to be able to say, God is actually coming and wanting to serve me? What? And I hope we get to understanding this a little bit more in our own lives. And then we're going to jump down to the end of that chapter. So Jesus is serving the disciples. I would say also serving all Jesus' followers. Then John 13, 15, he says this, I have set you a pattern to follow. Most translations say example. I've given you an example to follow. I've set you a pattern to follow. A pattern, a picture, a tracing, an example. Whoa, can you go to, is it working? Oh, he's back there. Okay. Jax, do you have my notes? Page 3, a pattern. If you can get to that, that would be great. And so I wonder if that's what Jesus is doing here for us, to say, hey, there's a pattern, a picture, a tracing, an example, a model for you to do this. And I want you to see this picture that will probably, in a sense, for the disciples, blow their minds of who God is. But also say, this is where you need to be moving in your own relationship, in your own life as well. If I then, Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also wash one another, should also wash one another's feet, for I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. So, let's talk a little bit about service now. I think it's easier for me to hear the call to deny father, mother, family. There's scripture that talks about houses, land, all this for the sake of the gospel, than Jesus' word to wash feet. Richard Foster says this, if we give up everything, we have a chance of glorious martyrdom. But in service, we're banished to the mundane, the ordinary, and the trivial. And I'm like, oh, what a good aha moment there. Sometimes, okay, Jesus has given everything. His posture towards me is he's given me everything. This is amazing. Now I'm going to become a missionary to Africa, which I thought I was going to be, which scared Sharon. Where I think you're here. She's here. She's like, I'm never going to Africa. I'm like, well, maybe one of these days I'm going to hitch a ride with Paul, and we're going to go to Africa together. And I have been to Africa. But there's this idea of, then if I'm just going to give up everything, sell everything, and I'm just going to release everything, and then maybe there's going to be this martyrdom that's going to happen, and then maybe my head, maybe I'm going to get on a plaque somewhere, and they're going to be like, Jesus, Kevin Snyder gave up everything for the sake of the gospel. Unbelievable. Here, although Jesus did give up everything, yes, Jesus is now bringing the picture into the everyday, ordinary, mundane. So now, Jesus is bringing this picture, this model for us. What does it look like to be a servant with the simple things, with the little things, with the things that don't get talked about. It's a servant. We just expect them to do it with the ones that are just expected. What does that look like in our lives? So as I was thinking about this, I was wondering about, okay, what does service look like today? Here, Jesus took his authority and turned everything on its head. It wasn't found in position or title, but it was in a towel. Who he was shaped what he did, and what he did pointed to who he was. So my question for us here was, what does service look like for us today in the midst of that? As we have been people that have been served by Jesus in our own lives, in our own ways, and I think there's going to be seasons of it too, right? I think where I've found the last couple of years being working as the lead pastor here, you know, people have had to have seasons of rest, seasons of not being a servant, seasons of someone else serving them, seasons of allowing God to serve them, and where there's this quietness that they can just rejuvenate themselves. I've literally told someone and said, maybe it's best if you don't come to church and you just gain some more of an understanding of who you are and allow people to serve you. And they're like, what? We thought you were going to say the exact opposite. I'm like, no, that's the tricky part of being a Jesus-centered community. Because it's not always about the institution, is it? It's about loving people really well. But there's also some of us that are like, okay, as I receive this service, that God has served me in different ways, I've been refreshed by him, now how do I serve in an appropriate way? If you can just go to one of the last slides. The next one. There you go. Jax is in the back. Way to go, Jax. He's figured this out. He took the computer back there and he's doing this. So Richard Foster says a few of these things as well as me. So I want to talk a little bit about what does service look like today. And I also want to say before we get into this that sometimes we can try to overthink it. Am I doing this for me? Am I doing it? Sometimes as Christians, we can get, like, things get way too complicated. Am I doing this for me? Am I doing this to get attention or notice? Am I self-righteous while I'm doing it? Well, someone should tell you if you are. That kind of thinking can sometimes paralyze you, that we're going to miss the main point, that it's actually a pattern. We're doing this because Jesus has done this and is asking us to do it because it's a pattern of what he wants us to do. And it's going to actually breed life into who we are and into the others, people that we're going to work with and serving. So I wonder if when we're overthinking it or getting too proud about our own service, I wonder if literally that's when we just have to laugh at ourselves and go, yeah, jerk, like, no, don't do that. I wonder if we need to laugh at ourselves a bit more on that and then just move on and say, okay, what does it look like to serve? Hidden service. When I say hidden service, what comes to mind when you think of hidden service? What would be some of the things that we would do today that wouldn't be, that'd be like a hidden service? Envelope stuffing. Yeah. Totally. Yes. What else? Folding, yeah. People set up, yeah. Totally. Yeah, helping someone anonymously, right? Not even, yeah, that's, Someone else said something else? What else? Praying. Such a hidden service. What else is a hidden service? I wonder, cleaning toilets? In the men's bathroom? Service in small and menial things? What would that be? What would those things be? Yeah. Nice. Quiet day. Nice. Yeah. Weeded the parking lot. So like little cracks where grass has gotten in, it kind of looks bad now because it's tarmac. Yeah. And you're weeding the parking lot. Beautiful. Menial tasks. Yeah. Foster talks about service of guarding people's reputations. This is interesting. It's like, whoa, is that a service? I think you could probably add service to almost anything, right? The service of guarding people's reputations. What does that look like? What does that look like? God, yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 And maybe, and so don't say anything. And maybe if you actually have something valid to say to somebody, say it to the person. Have a conversation with the person. Right? That's a good, because then you're talking community, you're working with one another, and maybe you have to forgive each other or whatever. That's all, that turns into something beautiful, right? But the other way, it goes into, thanks, Mike. Service of being served. This is like when we talk about the seasons in life, right? Man. This is just a couple things. I was here early this morning to unlock, and then I came in, and then I'm realizing, you know, I really can't do anything. and Chad and Irv are like, yeah, just get out of here. Like, and I'm like, I'm going, wow, these guys are just serving. Simon woke one of your parents up and said, hey, take me there so I can help with setup. And right, here's a teenager coming to help serve. Because he knows that he knows that Ajay's not around, he knows that I got a bum shoulder. Unbelievable. Thank you. And now it's not hidden anymore because I talked about it, but it's amazing. I'm driving, you get in the car. So this morning, and then I went to the office and printed things off, ran back to our place to pick up Elliot, and then I'm driving here, and I don't know, as you do, you hop in the car, and you just start driving, and then you realize, oh, I got to get my seatbelt on. And I'm like, I'm driving, but I'm trying to get it on. It's really, Elliot's like, can I help you, Dad? I'm like, No, I'm fine. And he's like, it's kind of dangerous, Dad. I'm like, yeah, okay, sorry, yeah. So I'm like pulled over. I'm like, yeah, can you do that, please? Thank you. And I was like, thanks for serving me. Sometimes when your need is a bit higher, you're actually more conscious of people around you that are willing to serve you. And I think that's okay. That's okay. Service of common courtesy. Foster talks about this, but it's more like, he bucks the thing of, like, if I'm saying, hey, how are you? And someone's like, people ask me, how are you? What do you mean? Like, they really don't want to know how I am. Like, just, and he's like, hey, that's just someone saying, I'm acknowledging your presence. Don't read into it too much. We know that in our culture, if we don't know someone really well and they say, how are you? They really don't want to know how they are. They're just saying, hey, I see you. And you're like, oh. And this idea of working, comic, just kind of being courteous. I was like, oh, interesting. And then the service of hospitality. What a beautiful gift that is. You probably have someone in your family that has this gift, whether in your immediate family or in your wider family, and you see this, and what a beautiful gift that is. That's an opportunity for us to serve. Service of listening in our community. Thank you, Aaron and Harold, kind of under the guise of the leadership team of, you know, we're listening to our community. And we heard people say, that was a gift. That was such a service to us. And I was like, oh, how do we listen? How do I listen better now? What a service that would be. Maybe another thing would be bearing one another's burdens. Just being present with someone. Sitting with. Listening. All of the above, praying. Just being present. And the service of encouragement. I wonder what it would look like if, Mike, we were quicker to tell people of this, of their encouragement that we see in them, than it would be to see the faults. And I wonder if you look at all those things that we're able to do, if I bring it back to this, I wonder if Jesus washed dirty feet. And when he did this, he was revealing his love and what he does, revealing who God is. And he was refreshing people for the journey ahead. And so I wonder, as we receive that encouragement, receive that that service from God ourselves, I wonder if, as we then in turn do all of our service in light of God's service to us, I'm wondering if we're seeing it as a beautiful signpost of the kingdom of God, a beautiful revealing of who God is, that God is present, that God is revealing himself to people, through people, through the gift of hospitality, through this encouragement, through doing menial tasks, through supporting, by bearing one another's burdens, by listening, by praying for one another. I wonder if we're able to practice some kind of service this week, and it ultimately reveals who God is. And it ultimately says to these people that you're serving, I want to bring some kind of refreshment to you because I've received it myself. Would you be able to wash someone's feet this week in the act of service because Jesus' posture towards you is one and the same? I'll leave you with this prayer that we have. Oh, we don't have it up there. And I didn't write it up. But this is the prayer. It's a simple prayer. It says this. Lord, would you give me the opportunity to serve someone today? Would you give me the opportunity to serve someone today? And as we go about our week and our day, then I wonder if we'll be less likely to see an interruption of someone that we're supposed to serve as an interruption, but an opportunity to serve in a way that's going to bring life to you and the other person. Because ultimately, Jesus has brought life to us through this act of service. We are able to reveal God's love to people by simple acts of service. Let's pray. God, I said a lot of words. I just now ask that your Holy Spirit would even speak to us now in this last song, in the crisp air, in the sunshine, as we read your word, as we speak to people, as we listen. Would your Holy Spirit remind us that your posture towards us, Jesus the Christ, you are this posture of stooping down towards, because you know that's best for all of creation. Would you allow us to experience that from you? Maybe even just this song would catch some of us in our hearts. But would we be ones that would be open and allowing you to wash our own feet to serve us? Those of us that maybe are in a season of just need to sit there for a while, I pray that they'd be okay with that. But we pray, Jesus, that you that they would sense your presence with them. And those of us that are wanting to serve in real, tangible ways, allow us to see that we are bringing life. We're refreshing people. We are bringing this good news of the gospel that Jesus, you stoop down towards humanity and says, I love you. Teach us what that means this week. Bring someone across our week, this week, that we can serve. And ultimately, our service will point to your kingdom. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.